Good morning. Welcome to Ebenezer Baptist Church. We're glad you're here. If you are a first-time visitor or want to know more about salvation or church membership, use your phone to scan the QR code on the screen. Join Ebenezer as we read through the Bible together. Scan the QR code for our one-year Bible reading plan. We have lots of online content to help you study the Word of God. There are virtual teachings and Bible studies on Mondays and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. and Tuesdays at 12 noon. You can access this content on our YouTube page, through the Ebenezer Church app, or through our website, ebcnc.com. We also have an in-person Bible study on Thursdays at 6 p.m. in the sanctuary. Ebenezer has service every Sunday with in-person services at 8:45 a.m. and 10:45 a.m. and an online service at 10 a.m.
Thank you for your giving. You can donate to Ebenezer using the Tithely app by texting GIVE to the number on your screen or by mailing your donations to our secure mailbox.
Get ready for Ebenezer's upcoming 2024 revival services, September 22nd through the 24th. The revival begins on Sunday, September 22nd, with three dynamic speakers. Our 8:45 a.m. in-person speaker will be Minister Christoph Hairston, known throughout the community for his energetic preaching and his appearance on America's Got Talent. 10 o'clock online, we will hear from Pastor Vince Hairston, Senior Pastor of Calvary Christian Center. Our 10:45 a.m. in person, Dr. Valerie Noble, who grew up here at Ebenezer, will bless us with a word from the Lord. The revival continues on Monday, September 23rd at 7 p.m. with guest speaker Dr. Timothy Fitzgerald. Our revival will end on Tuesday, September 24th at 7 p.m. with guest speaker Samuel Moore. We hope you'll be able to join us for these special services, and we ask you to pray for Ebenezer as we reignite our passion for Jesus.
I'll be reading from Philippians chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, dear friends. I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, my true companion, help these women since they have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. I have read Philippians chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. May God bless the reading of this of his word.
If anyone, if you know it, sing it with us, should ever rise. My life story, for whatever reason, there might be, listen. One day, I was lost, but Jesus found me, and he paid the cost, yeah, Jesus.
is the best thing that ever happened. Jesus is the best thing that ever happened. Jesus is the best thing that ever happened to me.
If anyone,
yes,
should ever write, my life story,
hallelujah,
for whatever reason, there might be, well, one day.
It is so good to know that Jesus is the best thing that's ever happened to me. You have to put that for you in the chat. Just say me. He is the best thing that's ever happened to all of us. I just want to thank you for all you do. I want to kind of bring up, just as God is using us and we've been growing together, we have a Feed the Hungry ministry and on the third Sundays, and it is growing exponentially as we reach out to so many people. And we ask you, if you have been interested in some volunteer opportunities, please consider being a part of our Feed the Hungry ministry. It's on the third Sundays. We meet in City Central Park, probably around 12:30 or so. They're always preparing directly after our 10:45 service. So please, if you're interested in some volunteer opportunities, just to bless the community, we are giving out clothing and feeding the hungry and just blessing people with the love of the Lord. Just wanted to say that, because if Jesus is the best thing that's ever happened to us, we do want to take those opportunities to share Christ with others. Well, before we go any further, I just want to go in a word of prayer and just welcome God's presence even more to be our teacher and our guide. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for who you are. You're such a merciful Father. And we just love you, Lord. Thank you for changing us from the inside out. But Lord, I realize there may be some that are listening and viewing that don't know you. I pray that today be their day, that they will confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that, Father, you've raised them from the dead and you said they would be saved. Let them know it's by grace through faith and not of themselves. It is a gift from you. Holy Spirit, I welcome you in this place. Would you teach us? Would you guide us? Would you lead us into all truth? Would you make this word so plain and so easy to be understood that even a small child can be transformed to be like you? We love you, Lord. You are an amazing God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, as we get back into our topic, we've been talking about back to the basics. Again, some of our young people gave me these topics that were part of Ebenezer. And also we had others from other churches that, you know what, I would really like to know about these particular topics. Did you teach on those? And it's been a delight as I've just been praying through these different topics and growing in the Lord together with you. But before we go any further and get into our subtopic of the day, let's go to our memory scripture. We've been saying this each Sunday together out loud so that it can get into our mind and seep down into our heart and we can walk this out. This is so important. Remember to say we love God and not do what God tells us to do. We're actually not walking in the truth. So let's go here to James 1:26. If you don't mind reading this aloud with me. If anyone amongst you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. I've been telling our in-person services also, man, when we really encapsulate that and we allow the Holy Spirit to lead us, this is really walking in the will of God. Our subtopic today, as we're in this back to the basics totality topic, I want us to look at why it is important to read the Bible. Why it's important to read the Bible. And I get it. I get it. Many times we take this for granted. But if we were honest with ourselves, I would say probably a majority of Christians don't read the Bible regularly. I'm not talking about just coming to a virtual service or a Bible study or even an in-person service and hearing someone preach the Bible or take a topic out of the Bible and use its verses. I'm talking about our own personal relationship. I was talking to someone the other day, and they had put a limit on their phone so that they couldn't look at Instagram and Pinterest too long. And they had put the limit for an hour and a half. And I was like, you look at Instagram and Pinterest for an hour and a half every day that you have to put a limit on that? And I just thought about, you know, and they came back at me. And it was like, well, yeah, this is the total part of the day. This is what I do. And I just think, how much of our day do we give to other things? And then we could actually be reading God's word. We could be meditating on the truth so that we could be transformed from the inside out. Well, today, let's go to the New Testament, a specific portion of scripture that actually talks about the word of God and why it's so applicable to our lives. I'll be honest, I wanted to go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. But as I began to study through it and look at the context, I had to go back to 2 Timothy chapter 2. And so for the next Sundays, we'll be working through the second chapter to get to the third chapter that we really bring it home by the aid of the Holy Spirit to look at why the Word of God is so wonderful to us. But let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, and let's look at our focus scripture for the day, that sixth verse. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And 6, it reads, the hard-working farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. I want to read that again. I want you to get it in your mind. 2 Timothy 2:6, the hard-working farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. I want to speak from a title today, Working for the Lord. Yes, Working for the Lord. Saints, even as we look at this topic today, there is work in a sense when it comes to being a Christian. It doesn't just happen. We have to do certain things, and that's why we're building on the Word of God. As we've accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and we do it in sincerity, God gives us the gift of salvation. He gives us the gift of the Holy Spirit that dwells on the inside of us. He becomes our teacher, our guide. He leads us into all truth. But there are things that we must do. James is very specific. He says, faith without works is dead. So today we're going to look at what's the application in our life as we think about the Word of God. Time frame is about AD 67 of this particular book. This is a special book, and all of them are special, but special when it comes to Paul the Apostle, because he is the age Paul the Apostle. He is ready to go see Jesus. Theologians hold that he is in a Roman cell at this point, prison, and he's writing these letters to his beloved Timothy, his son in the ministry, and also to the saints of encouragement, but also letting them know what he's given as far as his life to the Lord and the Word. And those letters, hear me, the letters that he is writing in context of him from the prison, these become the Word of God. These are the Word of God because he's listening via the Holy Spirit to write these things down that can impact from 67 AD all the way to 2024. Let's jump into this section. It's chapter 2, 2 Timothy chapter 1. He writes, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Here's our first point today. Be strong. Be strong. We're under attack. We're under attack. Some of you know my favorite movies of all time are the Rocky series. And the reason I love it, because it shows a transformation of Rocky really taking boxing seriously. I remember him running up those steps and putting up his hands, that transformation. And even when he gets into the ring, he's got to be strong. He's got to be able to take a beating. And we almost feel like Rocky's not going to make it. But because of his hard training and because of his focus, he's able to come forth. And as Christians, we're going to get beat sometimes. And it's going to feel like that we can't make it, but we can be strong in the Holy Spirit. Notice that 2 Timothy 2:1 again, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace." Now that grace is unmerited favor, because the only way that we can truly be strong is by God's grace, right? By his favor, by his love that's on the inside of us, that is in Christ Jesus. We have to always remember that greater is he that's in us than he that is in the world. And that good news, be strong in the Lord as we are working for him. Isaiah 41:10 really lays this out, that prophet, he speaks his powerful word. He says, "Fear not, for I am with you," speaking of God and his providence. He says, "Be not dismayed, for I am your God." In the chat, can you put "your God," "your God," wherever you're standing, and say "your God"? We have to know that he is with us. He says, "I will strengthen you." Remember, be strong. "Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand," working for the Lord. So as we decide to focus in on God's will in our lives, he has got us. We are submitting to his will, and whatever success we have, we can give glory to him working for the Lord. Notice as the Holy Spirit continues to bring forth the truth in 2 Timothy 2:2, "And the things that you have heard from me," Paul says, "amongst many witnesses," here it is, "commit these to faithful men." I'm going to work you today in the chat. Can you put "faithful"? Can you type out "faithful" real quick? Wherever you're standing, sitting, can you say "faithful"? He says, Paul says, I have done so much to inspire you by the aid of the Holy Spirit. But he says, I need you to pass it down. I need you to make sure that this Word of God, this powerful Word of God, is given to others. And how do you do that? You've got to commit it to faithful. That means people that are willing to go through, that are going to be hard workers for the Lord. They're not going to give up. They're not going to get distracted. They're going to pull themselves back as they are led of the Holy Spirit, who will be able to teach others also. So we've got to make sure that we're getting what God has, and that's what the Word of God does. And as it's transforming us, we can't help but share what God has done within our lives, and it becomes infectious. But we've got to be faithful, and we've got to commit that to faithful people that are going to carry. I believe that Jesus hasn't come back yet simply because there are more souls to be saved and brought to the knowledge of the truth. Here's the next point. Are you faithful? Yes, are you faithful? It's a pointed question. Only you can answer that. But you got to ask yourself, am I faithful to the Lord? Am I reading my scriptures on a daily basis? Am I praying on a daily basis? Am I giving God my best? We have been going through some teachings in our Thursday night Bible study, and we've been talking about communion, that it can get to a point that when you take communion, you forget how solemn that moment is. And we were talking about how we need to slow down, how we really need to examine ourselves, as the scriptures say. And this is the same thing with this question, are you faithful? I encourage you to take time today and say, have I been faithful to God? Have I been doing what God has called me to do? Have I been visiting the sick? Have I been encouraging other people? Have I been praying for mankind? Have I been lifting up our president, our leader of this great country? Have I been doing that? The scriptures say that's a mandate in faithfulness. As we think about our maturity in the Lord, I've been going through the book of Hebrews with our class on Wednesday nights, and we've been talking about how to grow in the Lord because of our high priest, which is Jesus Christ. Hebrews 5:12, it says, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. So the Spirit was using the writer here to speak into the lives. He's like, you should be more farther along. Are you faithful? Are you working for the Lord? And he says, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. I always use the example, you know, there was a movement of ladies, and bless their heart, and they wanted to breastfeed their children up to like 4 or 5 years of age. And it was like, okay, that's a grown man child or a grown woman child that you're doing that with. There has to be some time that you transition from milk to meat. And that's why the word of God is so important in our lives. I believe that so many Christians have decided, I am happy being a baby Christian, but God is saying, hey, I want you to grow. I need you to share your faith with others. Hebrews 5:13, for everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. So God is not saying it's bad to be a babe in Christ. He's just saying there's got to be a growing process. I want you to become skilled in God's word. I want you to have a memorization, a part of you where you've got scriptures other than John 3:16 or Psalms 23 that you can quote. I had a dream last night, and in this dream, it was frightening to me. Someone had asked me to read Psalms 27, and I was trying to get my device out. And in that dream, it was freaking me out. I could not get it. And I was like, I already got this in my mind. I could just say it, but I was looking for it on the device. And it was this sickening time that I could not find the scripture. I couldn't get to my phone to bring it up. And I kept thinking it. And finally, they got somebody else to read the scripture. And I was just so embarrassed in this dream. I was like, God, why do you have this? I believe we have so many times we get hooked on our things and stuff that's around us when we've got to have the word that's hidden within our heart. And I encourage you, you got to get the word on the inside, that you're not dependent on devices or even carrying around a big Bible, but you got it in your heart. And how do you do that? We've got to work for the Lord. We've got to get in his word on a daily basis, and it has to be within our minds, souls, and strength. Everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are full of age. This is so important. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Working for the Lord, tying this all together, Paul talking to Timothy. And as we look at that Hebrews scripture, he's saying, I want you to grow, and I want you to give that to other men and women that can grow and share it with others. And so now we have a discernment. We are in a season in time, hear me, where discernment is at an all-time low for the saints, that it's hard for many to discern what's good and what's bad. And that's why it's so challenging, this political environment environment, so many challenges on our jobs, because people are coming at us and they want to know the truth. But because we haven't been in the Word of God, we're not able to give a clear, concise truth without getting caught up in other stuff. We need God's Word. We've got to work for the Lord. Look at 2 Timothy 2:3 as we build on this. You therefore must endure hardship. We're going to go through some stuff. It's not going to be easy. I talk to my wife all the time. I was like, this is tough, you know, to stay focused and to continue in God's will. Yes, greater is he that's in us than he that is in the world. He empowers us, but we fight against this flesh. Any amens that's out there? You must therefore endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Peter actually talked about this in 1 Peter 4:12. He said, "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you." That's it. It's going to come. It's going to come. All of us go through. All of us deal with struggles as saints of God. That's why we have to have the firm foundation of God's word that's on the inside of us, as though some strange things happen to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's suffering. Now, context, I want to be truthful with you. These people were dying for their faith. Yes, they were holding on. All they had was letters that were written from Peter, letters that were written from Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, but they were willing to give up their lives for Jesus the Christ. It says, "You partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy." Yes, we celebrate even in our hardships as we're working for the Lord, because we know that we're being used of God. 2 Timothy 2:4. "No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life." This is so important. We've got to ask ourselves, how entangled are we with this world? Remember the example I started out with, you know, social media. How much is that actually taking of our time? I pray often. My schedule is so busy, so many things that are going on. And God spoke to me on that. He said, "Stop complaining. Your issue is not time per se. Your issue is what you're using in those times that I've already given you." And so many times we can waste time. Can you put in the chat, "Help me, Lord, not to waste time"? I know that's long. I'm going to give you a little bit. "Help me, Lord, not to waste time." Because so often in our lives, we complain about not having enough time. But guess what? We waste so much time. "Or no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier." Here's the point. We are soldiers. Yes, we are soldiers. William Kelly, he really encapsulate the thoughts of this scripture. He says, "To entangle oneself in the businesses of life means really to give up separation from the world by taking one's part in outward affairs as a bona fide partner in it." So often, if we are not examining ourselves, we can get so entangled in this life. We're just kind of like rats on a wheel going around and round, and we wake up, and then next night we're going to sleep, and we're waking up doing the same old, and we've got our priorities all out of check. We've got all these things that are going on, but yet we're not lifting up Christ. We're not in his word. We're not working for the Lord. Dr. Stephen M. Morrison, PhD, he actually brought this, attributed this thought. I love this. He said, "A spare time Christian is a contradiction in terms. A man's whole life should be one strenuous endeavor to live out his Christianity in every moment and in every sphere of his life." That is our push. And some say, "Pastor, can I give too much to God?" No. He says that we are a living sacrifice every day, 24 hours, 7 days a week. Yes, we have an adversary. He's hitting us. Have you noticed how many TV channels we have? I'm going to date myself now. I remember growing up, we had like 2, 8, and we kind of got 12. And then you could go to those UHF channels and you could get a few more. But it just wasn't like it is now. Well, now they're thousands of channels that we can look at. I'm like, who is looking at all of these things? How many people have time? It's taking up our time. The enemy knows if he can get our time away from us, then we'll make excuses for not reading God's word, not praying, and we'll find ourselves going through our lives like zombies, and then one day waking up saying, "Where did all the time go?" I remember being a soldier, being in the military, and I stood in a room and I took an an oath. They wanted everything of me. I remember parts of that oath. It said that you are agreeing right now to protect against a domestic and foreign. I was like, okay. And then within that, and it said literally, you will be willing to die for your country. I was like, my goodness, I'm repeating all this. I was like, this is serious at this point. You want my whole life. And then to add to that, I went into basic training and I realized they were going to take my whole life as they trained me 24 hours, 7 days. I had a ready pack and they told me that I had to carry this with me no matter where I was at any time. And when they gave a call, I had to be ready to go. That was taking my entire life. I was like, what if I'm at home or what if I'm somewhere? They said, it doesn't matter. When we call you, you have committed your life to us. And as a Christian, if being a military person can cause me to give my life to that extent, how much more so did we give our lives in the army of the Lord, because we're soldiers of the cross. 1 Peter 3:15, it says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you. You got to be ready. And the only way you can be ready, you got to be in the word on a daily basis. You got to be praying. And I'm going to say that over and over again. We've got to be to the point of hearing the voice of the Spirit with meekness and fear, having a good conscience that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. We got to be ready to be used of God at any time. We got to work for the Lord. Look at 2 Timothy 2:5. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. His next point, we will wear a crown. We will wear a crown. Now, if you notice the context of scripture, we talked about a soldier. And now we talk about athletics here. I think this is applicable. We've just finished the Olympics, and we saw all the different people and how they were competitive towards one another. We saw some that started out in literal races, and because they crossed the line of starting that starting point too quickly, they were disqualified. We've seen that. So there are rules to be a champion, but it really comes all out to who will win. Who's going to take home the gold? Who is going to be at that top of platform when they give out those different medals? Paul says this in 2 Timothy 4:7. He says, I have fought the good fight. Yeah, as we're working for the Lord, are you fighting a good fight? We had a dog. We had a dog, Max, and we talk about him from time to time. Big German Shepherd. He had issues. He had all kinds of struggles. But there was one time, there was this little dog came at him. And Max, he rolled over on his back. He put his big paws up, just laid down like, I give up. And I think so many times in our lives as Christians, we just give up. Man, the enemy comes at us and we like, you know what? I am not going to fight. I'm not going to work for the Lord. I'm just going to lay on my back and whatever you want to do, devil. But I'm telling you, we got to come to the point and say, the devil is a lie. I plead the blood of Jesus. And that comes by getting into God's word, loving him with our whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. He says, I finished the race. I have kept the faith. You see that? That's active. As the Holy Spirit is on the inside of us, faith without works, again, is dead. We hold on to that. 2 Timothy 4:8. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness. Yes, yes. Which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. We will wear a crown. A minister, Thomas Whitfield, 1984, I really compiled this song, Bless My Heart. He says, I shall wear a crown when it's all over. When it's all over, I shall see his face. I shall see his face when it's all over. When it's all over. And then he says, I'm going to put on my robe, tell the story of how I made it over. And I love that final kind of transition. He says, soon as I get home. Please, as we're working for the Lord, we're really working towards the finish line, that one day we're going to see Jesus and we're going to hear him say, well done, my good and faithful servant. That is good news. Look at 2 Timothy 2:6. He says, the hardworking farmer You notice we've gone in it. We talk about the soldier. We talk about athletics. Now the Holy Spirit brings up the symbol of a farmer. He says the hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crop. Hard work. I'm telling you, I try to do a garden. I'll probably start again next year, but it's hard work, man. I remember digging up the grass and taking out the weeds and turning over the soil. I was like, good, great. I hadn't even got the seeds in. And then when I finally got the seeds in, I'm like, oh, I'm finished. Nope. The weeds started coming back and I had to go and pull out. And I'll be honest, I was not a hard working farmer. I gave up and I just let the weed take over. As Christians, we got to fight through some stuff. We got to work for the Lord. That's why we've got to have him deep into our heart. The hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. Here's the next point. You must eat what you sow. Yes, you must eat what you sow. I want you to get this one. So many of us want to grow in the Lord, but you're not putting the right things in the ground. On Galatians 6:7 really brings this out. It says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. Whatever you put in the ground, it's going to come up. You literally, what you put in the ground, it's going to come up. You're going to reap that. Galatians 6:8, for he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. How many of us have sown to the flesh by not getting into God's word, not praying, not seeking, not doing things like fasting, not doing things like touching and agreeing with other folks, deciding on a daily basis that I'm going to praise him, I'm going to worship him. We were actually sowing to our flesh, and now all these fleshly things are coming up. We wonder, where is it coming from? That's what you put in the ground. And so you're going to eat what you sow, but he who sows to the Spirit, can you put in the chat Spirit? I want you to put a capital on that Spirit. We're sowing to the Holy Spirit within our lives. Wheel of the Spirit, reap everlasting life. And so as we put God first, as we're putting his word first, as we're sowing, as we're putting the good news of God, a word in the ground, it's going to come up, and we actually eat what we sow, and we grow spiritually. Galatians 6:9, and let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Again, I told you as a farmer, man, I gave up. I just got tired of fighting the weeds. But as a Christian, we can never get up. We can never lose heart. We're gonna get weary from time to time, but don't give up. We're working for the Lord, and we realize that he's given us health and life for this time and this season that we can celebrate and show forth who he is. Look at 2 Timothy 2:8. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, for which I suffered trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains, but the word of God is not chained. Here's the point. The word of God, the word of God. I love the word of God. These 66 books are so powerful. He brings this out in that 2 Timothy 2:9 at that end part. He said, but the word of God is not chained. Paul said, I've gone through some stuff. I've been chained. I've been bondage. I've been beat. I've been left for dead. But I found out the word of God is still free. It's still touching hearts. It cannot be changed. It cannot be put in a cell because it's bigger than that. Evangelist Harvey captures the picture when he writes. He says, with irresistible divine energy, it is advancing in its career of triumph. Even while its defenders suffer imprisonment and martyrdom, men die, but Christ and his gospel live in triumph through the ages. Isn't that good news to know the word of God that we have? You know what? The devil can't take it. He wants to. He wants to mess with it, but God's word stands through Jesus Christ, and his Holy Spirit is all powerful. What the enemy means for our harm, God always turns it for our good. There ought to be some shouts of praise. Let me sum this up. Let's go to 2 Timothy 2:10. Therefore, he says, I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. So as we go through, as we're enduring, as we're working for the Lord, Paul says, I'm doing this so I can share the good news. I'm doing this to be an example, to be used of God, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. We got to understand, our life does not stop when we pass away from this terra firma. We're living for eternity. Yes, so we're living heaven to be with Jesus for an eternity. Yes, this life is tough and there are struggles, but God has so much for us. He's already shown us what we're going to be with Jesus Christ, having the glorified body and being able to be with the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit forever. That's good news. 2 Timothy 2:11. This is a faithful saying. For if we died with him, we shall also live with him. In the chat, can you say live with him? Live with him. This is good news. I'm working for the Lord, because literally Paul says we die daily. Yes, we die daily. Whether you like it or not, the older we get, there's parts of our flesh that's passing away. It's passing away. It's just a part of normal life, living, coming from that sinful seed of Adam and Eve after their demise. It said that we're going to die. But there's another part of us as we are growing close to the Lord, our flesh and our thought patterns are dying to the world, and we're living. It says, for if we died with him, we shall also live with him, working for the Lord. 2 Timothy 2:12, if we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. It's good news to know we just got to stay with the Lord. We're going to reign with him. 2 Timothy 2:13, if we are faithless, can you put in the chat, faithless, wherever you stand, it says, say faithless, he remains faithful. This is one of my favorite parts of the scripture, because we fail him so often, but I am so glad that we serve a God that is faithful in spite of ourselves. That's why we got to continue to work for the Lord. He cannot deny himself. The final point of the day, I want you to put this one down, endure. Can you put it in the chat? Endure, E-N-D-U-R-E, endure. Yes, as we're working for the Lord, we cannot give up. You know what? I've been a part and worked all my life, and I've noticed there are generally two types of people. Those who come to work all the time, and those who you can see kind of sparse out here and there. You know, they just don't have that focus. They're people that have just been raised. I'm going to work. I'm going to be there every day unless I'm like really, really sick. And some come in even when they're sick. It's just a part. And then some of them, they just don't have that. But what happens with people that are able to come and make it, and they get, you know what, those awards, that they've been there every day, they have learned how to endure. It's not that they don't have issues like the other person. It just means that when the issues come up, they deal with them in a different way. And that's where the saints of God come in. Saints, we are going to go through, we're going to have some struggles, but because we know that we're going to reign with him, because we know that the greater one that's on the inside, because we know that he is faithful, we can work for the Lord. We must never forget that this world is not our home. Any amens out there? That's what the scriptures teach us in these 66 books from Genesis to Revelation. This world is not our home. We got to go and meet our maker, but it's so good to know that we have a savior that's the foundation of our faith. Oh, he showed us how to work for the Father. In John 5:17, he said this, but Jesus answered them, my Father has been working until now, and I have been working for the Lord. Yes, that work took him to the betrayal with Judas Iscariot down the Via Dolorosa, took him to the cross of Calvary, nails in his hands and nails in his feet, but I'm so glad he was working it out. Any happy folks that he was working it out on the cross? Surely he bore our griefs and carried our pains, yet we did esteem him stricken of God and afflicted, but he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of peace was upon him, and with his stripes we were healed. On that cross he was working it out. He dropped his head in the locks of his shoulders. He gave up the ghost for you and me. They put him in a cold grave, but aren't you glad that 3 days later he gets up with all power and all glory, and now he's seated on the right hand of the Father praying for us. Oh, that's good news, working for the Lord. I am so glad we have an example of a God that never gives up on us. Jesus never gives up on us. And it is with us as we go through this life. Saints, we have to decide to give more of ourselves away. We have to be that living sacrifice. We've got to work for the Lord. Not just one day of a week, but every day, that we are walking in the divine power of God, and we're celebrating God in the good times as well as the bad. What's going to be your choice? Remember that one point I wanted you to examine yourself. Are you faithful? Are you working for the Lord? As God ministers to your heart, make a decision. God, I'm going to get into the word more. You know, I'm going to read. We've got some specific things that we do at Ebenezer. We read through the Bible together. That is important. That's a part of our spiritual growth. It's like, Lord, I want to pray more. You got to add. You got to make sure that you have times of solitude every day with the Lord. You've got to implement other things such as fasting and worship and praise. All of these things are saying, I'm working for the Lord and being willing to share Christ, and know that when you have that opportunity, he's going to show up and show out, because you've been prepared. You've been prepared to speak it at that point to impact someone's life. And then you could say, it was not about me. It was all about working for the Lord. It was all about the power of God and what he's done for us. Finally, if you don't know Christ, that is your first step to have a relationship. The scriptures are clear. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead and said, you will be saved. It's by grace through faith, not of yourself. It is a gift from God. Would you just grab that gift today? Then God, I want a testimony that I know you have shown up and shown out in my life today. Man, I know he's still in the saving business. To the saints, I want to encourage you. Let's take steps to grow in the Lord. Let's take steps. Let's get back to the basics, where we're like, man, I gotta fall in love with Christ over and over again. Let's not be like Revelation. You've lost your first love. No, we want to go back to that first love. I want to say, God, you are our everything. Would you pray with me? Father, I thank you for this word, and even as we continue to progress on next Sunday through this chapter 2 and into chapter 3. Thank you, God, that you're teaching us, you're training us. Lord, thank you for these 66 books, and thank you for another day of breath and life that we can become more like you. Lord, thank you for saving souls and delivering, strengthening families. Lord, helping people to step up, to be faithful to you, to be leaders, to share the good news. Lord, we just thank you for all that you've done for us and are doing. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Ancient words impart, holy words long preserved for our walk in this world. They resound with God's on earth. Oh, let the ancient words impart, words of life, words of hope. Give us strength, help us hope. In this world where we roam, ancient words will guide us home. Ancient words ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open eyes, oh, let the ancient words impart. Ancient words ever true, changing and changing you. We have come with open eyes, oh, let the ancient words impart. Holy words of our faith handed down to this age. Give to us through sacrifice, oh, hear the faithful words of Christ. Holy words long preserved for our walk in this world. Every sound with God's anat, oh, let the ancient words impart. Ancient words ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open eyes, oh, let the ancient words impart. Ancient words ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open eyes, oh, let the ancient words. Ancient words ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with hope and not, oh, let the ancient words impart. Ancient words ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with hope and not, oh, let the ancient words impart. Ancient words ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with hope not, oh, let the ancient words impart. We have come with hope not, oh, let the ancient words impart.